Dear Shooter, last weekend, Vet Healing Adventures brought veterans from all over the United States for our annual antelope hunt. This event provides a unique opportunity to connect with nature and fellow servicemen and women in a peaceful and supportive environment. Though our town of Lysite, Wyoming, may be small, we pride ourselves on our warm hospitality and strong sense of community. We are honored to have Brian Fox with us tonight to tell you his experience.
It's not about protecting the stupid, it's just, it is what it is.
I don't know if you know this, but I'm a self-identifying llama. and it's because I have a quick temper and I like to spit.
You are not safe and you are not sacred and you're both liars.
We're talking about firearms, y'all. Keep it clean.
I can hide one under there.
One what? I want to know.
I looked like I got ran over by a paint truck on the way to Sherwin-Williams and then backed over by the short bus.
You know, let's talk about the modern trends in transsexual transitions.
Welcome to the Dear Shooter podcast. Dear Shooter is brought to you by WyoTech, empowerment through self-reliance, and by Lucid Optics, on target, under budget.
All right, happy Thursday, and we just finished up with a weekend. We did our Vet Healing Adventures, and for the first time ever, we actually bribed one of our veterans to come on and talk to us. We're on the phone with Brian Fox. He's a Marine Corps veteran from 2000 to 2004, did two tours in Iraq.
Say that fast 10 times.
Let me learn how to talk. So, Brian, how's it going?
It's going well, guys. Out here in sunny San Diego, I'm sure I'll hear a lot of jokes tonight about that. But yes, things are doing well.
We just don't acknowledge your state. That's
I was impressed that he came hunting because I didn't know they could do the gun thing.
Oh man, yeah, there was a couple of doubts from you, Brandy, on a couple of things. Number one, it was if I was going to show up.
Well, you were voted most likely not to communicate.
Uh huh. heard that. I felt a little bad for it too. I was like, uh-oh, I'm that guy now.
I would have got him a trophy, but nobody communicated with me.
Right.
Well, that, like I said, I bribed him into coming on, so we actually finally have one of the participants to actually talk about this event. We've been doing this for what, 3 years now?
Yeah, I've been doing veterans assistant type of hunting programs for a little over a decade. But this is our third with Vet Healing Adventures as our own 501c3.
So, as one of the veterans we brought out here, Brian, I mean, just give us your 50,000-foot view. What did you think of the whole thing?
It was a great event. You guys are running something great over there. You know, I got a phone call from Brandy that I got a tag available, and she's hoping I can work it out in my schedule to show up. And by God, I was going to make that happen one way or another. And I'll tell you what, I'm glad I did.
Well, let's back up a step or two. Yeah. How did you hear about us?
You know, I was on an Indiana hunt. I did a hunt with Atterbury Sportsmanship Club up there, and they gave us a list of names. One of the names came from, I believe it was Otis. And I looked you guys up and signed up. That's and sure enough, I was picked.
Otis Pugh.
Pugh or Kerr.
Yes, sir.
They're both in the same.
It was Pugh. Yep.
All right. Good.
So that's how we found out about you guys.
Outstanding. So you made the application and you hit all the criteria. So Brandy gave you a call. Had you ever hunted antelope before?
Never. Never even seen one.
Oh, really?
You know, you see the pictures and everything, but no, I was tickled pink to be selected, and I was excited about it. So, yeah, never did, and we got one.
All right. So, you know, we tell you about this, and you're invited out on this adventure, right? But when you actually put boots on the ground and you start to see this area in the daylight, what was your thought process there?
Well, driving around and seeing what I was going to be hunting on, I was thinking, oh, man, I hope you're a good shot, Brian. Because some of these things could be out there where you need to touch it. So that was my first initial shot. And then I was thinking, man, there's a lot of them. I mean, when you drive around for an hour, I can't even, 100 more, you know, you're just driving around. They're on the side of the road. They're up on the hills. They're everywhere.
Well, I can explain to you guys, when I picked you all up from the airport, like, they outnumber people in this state.
10-1. Yeah. Easy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'll vouch for that. There's a lot of them out there. Holy smokes.
So tell us, if you're willing, tell us a little bit about your service, your time in the service, and where you got out and where you're at now.
Yep, not a problem. Knew I was going to join some type of branch since I was in the ninth grade. I graduated in 2000. Had it narrowed down to Navy and Marine Corps, you know, one of those two. And had a Navy recruiter come pick me up one day. He goes, we're done talking. I'm going to take you to the office right now. We're going to sign you up. And I said, no, that doesn't feel right. Why don't you just take me home? Well, that was on a Friday. Guess what? That Saturday, the very next day, I marched downtown Fort Worth, and I go to the Marine Corps recruiting office, talk to a staff sergeant there, and I said, let's do this today. So signed up, and he says, what are you interested in? And I said, infantry.
So the Navy got pushy.
They did.
And you got mad. You went home.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And you were still wanting to, you know, serve, so you chose the Marines.
I did. Yep.
Okay. I just want to make sure you volunteered for the most pushy branch of the bunch.
Yeah. You know, I wanted the title. I self-pride. I wanted to go after something that was challenging. And yeah, Marine Corps was it. Signed up. Infantry options, you know, you at that time, maybe the same today, you sign up as a 0300, you aren't sure what you're going to get until you finish school of infantry and everything. And yeah, went to boot camp on October 2nd of 2000 and, you know, graduated, went to school of infantry, got selected for cruiser weapons and got selected as a 81 millimeter mortarman.
Outstanding. So you sent the big shells.
Yeah, we sent the big stuff.
That explains his accuracy. He does aerial weapons. Dear
grid square.
I didn't want to go into the detail of the hunt just yet, but yeah, thanks for calling me out on that. Yep. So I got assigned to 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines, Camp Pendleton. I was in San Mateo, which is kind of the most northern camp up against San Clemente there. And yeah, great time to get in if that's what you want to do. They're right in the middle of a buildup for Okinawa. So shortly after I joined the fleet and did all that, next thing you know, I'm in Okinawa and kind of seeing the world, you know, stopped at Singapore and Hong Kong and Thailand and did a Iwo Jima stop for about 5 days. And just saw everything over there. It was quite an experience.
Well, that is what the poster says, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, their advertisements are right. You're going to see the world if you want to.
And all that and a paycheck, too.
Yeah, they're managing expectations right out of the gate.
Yeah, it was gravy train, let me tell you. No, it wasn't hard work at all.
Yeah, we don't do that. Right. We don't do that for them. We just fly them out here blind, you know, blindfold them at the airport, bring them out the middle of nowhere.
I've never heard a Marine describe it as, it was a gravy train. That's an interesting statement because most of them are like, I survived it.
No, it was. I was being sarcastic. No, oh, okay. It was a lot of hard work and everything over there. Being the boot, you know, to a new fleet and being the young guy. Yeah, anything like the crappy, any working party that was needed, I was on it. That was for sure.
Yep. I've talked to enough Marines to know that's exactly how it goes. They have a system for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we got the Okinawa deployment underway, and then. You know, things happen, and all of a sudden, I think it was January of 2003, you know, we fly into Kuwait, and we're dug in on the border in the middle of sand and just kind of just a waiting game to see what's going to happen. And then sure enough, in March is when we crossed the berm.
All right.
So that's
when the craziness started, huh?
That was some craziness, yeah. Operation Tarawa, I believe it was called, was our first gig right when we crossed the berm, and did a big push all the way to Baghdad, and then, you know, once you hit that, each battalion got assigned a city, and we 3-5s at that moment settled in at Diwania.
All right.
And we kind of policed that city for a while.
How did the locals like having you there?
Yeah, down south, it was a little more comfortable. The more north we went, you know, they weren't welcoming to us. You saw the bottom of their feet, which I guess was a sign of disrespect and that they didn't like you and everything. So further north you went, you know, they... It was a little more hatred.
Okay.
And then, the first time over, we got home and everything, and I did a short little stint, fleet assistant program, which is fapped out. You know, anyone under like a year has an opportunity to do, a different job for a little bit just to ride out your contract. And then all of a sudden I get a phone call from a buddy named Travis Day, who was still in 3-5. He didn't get fapped out. And he goes, "Hey," I said, we're having a meeting. It's sounding like they're going to get another deployment. You may want to come and listen." So sure enough, I go up there on one of my days off, and they hold this formation, and they pretty much said, short timers, you're going to re-enlist and stay with us. You're going to extend your contract, or you're going to be a combat replacement for 2-4. And a couple people raised their hands, and I went over to my old lieutenant. I said, I'm in MPs, but can you put my name on that list? Took a little doing and some brass to get involved, but they eventually got me out of military police. I was only in there for like 2-3 months. And sure enough, I was on another plane going back over, and I was a combat replacement with 2nd Battalion, 4th Marines. And we settled in Ramadi, Iraq at that time.
Interesting. That was when it was getting sporty.
It was different. The first time around, I didn't know what an IED was, And then the second time around, that's all you hear about and all you see. You're hoping to run into a firefight in lieu of an IED.
I'd rather be shot at than blown up, huh?
Yeah, it's 100% true. Yes, sir.
All right. So what led you to seek out distractions from your daily, like Vet Healing Adventures?
Well, there's a couple things. I believe that iron sharpens iron. So, being around people with the same mentality and, you guys have similar experiences in life, it's just you don't need that intro to know each other. It seems like you guys know each other automatically, and it feels good. It feels healthy. It feels normal. It feels right. Doing the one event and everything, I just fell in love with that. It was comfortable to me. And hunting, getting you outdoors and just bonding with these people and meeting. I can't even tell you how many new people I met on this trip and changed numbers with. You get a network of, more than friends. You get a network of family connections that, are new. And it's just a good thing.
Awesome. So you got off the plane, got in the car and drove across the nothing, saw a whole bunch of antelope.
I did.
And you settled in here at the bar, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well. I flew in at night. So the event started, Friday? Mm-hmm. And I couldn't find a good flight to line up with the times. So I flew in Thursday. And I text Brandy, I believe it was. And I was wrong. I guess I'm naive. I was like, hey, I said I'm flying in early. I'll just get an Uber and go. And she says, "Oh yeah, that ain't happening.
That never gets old." By the way,
well, I wonder why. And she said something like, "Hotels are sold out." And I was like, "Man, it must be a popular place, But when I landed, I quickly found out I'm not getting an Uber here. I don't even know if Ubers are over there.
I think there's one guy.
Yeah, for the whole state.
So actually, I got there Thursday night, 8:30, I think it was, and Jason's at the airport. I see this guy standing there, and I was like, "Are you picking people up?" He goes, "Yes, sir, I am." And I was like, "Are you Brandy's husband?" She's like, "Yeah." I was like, "All right, I'm yours." And we loaded up, and I didn't have a place to stay or anything lined up.
That was his first mistake.
Your truck
climbs in a truck with four strangers.
Oh, jeez.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? I knew I was in a good place because right on that back seat were a couple of rifles, and I was like, okay, I'm in good hands.
Just a couple?
I'm in good hands. Yeah, it was just a couple.
I had to thin it out. I had a lot of people in there.
You had to make room? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah.
God dang it. All of our trucks out here are kind of like that.
Well, I found that out, and I kind of want to be a part of that, to tell you the truth.
And I don't think he noticed the bottle of bourbon in the pocket of the back seat either.
No, I think you're lucky I didn't see that.
But you found the bourbon when you got to the bar.
I did.
Oh, yeah.
So because I didn't have a room, I got the greatest host and hostess in the state. I'm confident of that. Yeah, they bunked me up at their place. Scared the hell out of me when they said, "Hey, we got a dog, and he's going to show his dominance to you when you first meet him. No pressure.
Yeah, dominance.
I was like, oh, God.
He's an itty-bitty guy.
What? I was like, what am I about to witness here? So they got there. Yeah, I'm staying with Jason and Brandy, and we're hanging out. I'm hanging out in the bar with Jason. Found his bourbon. Nice collection, by the way.
And
all of a sudden, here comes this dog just charging me. Good old Diesel. He's letting me know he's the king of the castle, that's for sure.
He's a big pussycat, though.
Yeah, it only took about 5 minutes, and he's on the lap.
Yeah, yeah, that's about right. See, we use him to sort out the character. If the dog doesn't like you, we don't either.
Okay.
So
well, I'm glad I had those dog treats in my pocket.
I'm a nice guy. Walked in with bacon.
Yep.
So welcome to Wyoming Hospitality.
Yeah,
that's just how we do
it. Nice. It's warm and welcoming, that's for sure.
And it wouldn't have mattered which one of the guides you stayed with, because we have a lot of guides that the vets stay on their property. It's all the same. Like the vets Sunday morning that came in, Oscar got up real early and made biscuits from scratch and gravy and all sorts of stuff. It's how we treat our guests out here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a great time.
Well, it's not like we have any restaurants or anything.
Well, they're not always open. And when he says the hotels are all sold out, they were. But keep in mind, we have probably 4 real ones and then some sketch ones that are rented by the hour. So
yeah, but the one in Lysette's got like, what, 5 rooms?
7.
7? Okay.
But there's nothing there.
So, I mean, to call it a hotel is...
She actually calls it a bunkhouse, but I didn't want to
confuse It's more of a bunkhouse.
People.
Yeah, yeah. And then we had 2 man camp trailers where we put some communal living guys.
I think Brian was in one of those.
Yeah. How'd you like the
No,
he was in the hotel.
I was in the hotel.
Okay.
Oh, you got the red carpet
so
all the way around.
Man camp has 1 room with a queen bed and the door shut. So I try to put people with like CPAPs in those. And then there's another room with 5 bunk beds. So you're literally sleeping together.
I mean, not big spoon, little spoon. Yeah. But.
I mean, I could have done that.
We don't judge.
This is true.
What happens stays there.
That's right. It should, but it doesn't always.
Yeah, and
case
here
in
I am
point.
On a podcast.
I mean, I don't think anybody's picking out curtains or anything. But. So you came to the meet and greet. This is an event where it's like pre-hunt. And we make sure that you connect with your guide and put a face with the voice on the phone.
Yeah.
Feed you a dinner, and it's social hour for the most part for the rest of the evening.
Mm-hmm. And it was great. In fact, it even got a little more comfortable for me. So I had 2 guys that I previously hunt with in Indiana that was on the hunt. So we connected, saw each other, and we're flipping through our phones. I was like, is that you in this picture? He's like, yeah, that's me. So we had a faster connection than normal just because we were with each other, you know, last year.
Oh, cool. All right.
I kind of noticed that at this event, more so than others, a lot of guys were connecting in oh, man, we served together. Oh, we were on this trip together. You live an hour away from me kind of thing. Everybody was mingling with everybody, whereas before we've kind of seen the little cliques, or we might see 1 or 2 guys are kind of off by themselves. There was almost none of that at this one.
Very little. It was kind of happy to watch everybody kind of meld together. Didn't matter what branch of service or what area they served in, they were all brothers in a way.
Mm-hmm. And I think it helped. We had a little bit of an unorthodox auctioneer this time around. Otis Kerr got his drill instructor on and auctioned off several items.
I offered him the microphone, but he's better without it.
He is.
He's starting some, you know, auction by drill instructor.
No, he was really good at it. I was very happy to have that happen.
he did a great job.
In the whole grand scheme of things, the fundraising portion of it for me is the least important part of the whole deal.
It is. It's kind of weird because the vets are there, but we weren't trying to get the vets involved with that. We only see the whole community of Lysite 1 day a year.
This is their big party.
So that's it.
The problem is we put together one hell of a raffle item.
We did.
I mean, everybody wanted to take that thing home.
And so they have a chance now.
If they do.
And yeah. So y'all know I still have 249 tickets to go.
Right. Right.
All right.
So what happens with this event is we go and the community donates their hunting tags. They give up their opportunity, their one opportunity a year to hunt antelope, to give it to a vet. The Game and Fish renames that tag in the vet's name, and we bring them out, pair them with a guide that's local, knows the area pretty well, and breakfast starts at 6, and they scatter to the wind from there. So who'd you have as a guide there, Brian?
I had Joe Britton.
Okay. So, all right.
Yep, son of Bob, who lives close to the area.
Yep, Bobby
and,
J.
And his brother Dusty was part of it.
All right, so you had some exceptional local flavor.
I did.
Tell us about the hunt.
Well, hang on.
Oh, wait.
Let me pay some bills first, and then we're going to get into the hunt.
Okay.
The 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirit Company, based in Vail, Colorado, high up in the Rocky Mountains. 10th Mountain is a tribute company to the legendary 10th Mountain Division, maker of fine spirits including bourbon, rye, and vodka, as well as being a generous supporter of the shooting sports and veterans charities. Support those that support us, and to make it easier, 10th Mountain is offering our listeners a discount. Just enter Dear Shooter at checkout for 10% off. 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirits Company, whiskey worth fighting for. All right, Brian. So it's Saturday morning. It's 6 o'clock in the morning. You're scarfing down breakfast. You're getting ready to go. Everybody loads up, and now you're on the hunt.
Yep. Ate probably the biggest pancakes I ever had in my life. Grabbed me a wonderful sack lunch.
They were kind of thick, like a ribeye, weren't they?
They were big, and they were good. It hit the spot.
You go hungry at our event, you've screwed up.
Yeah, there's no way you're going hungry. There was so much food. Well, we'll get to that, especially dinner on Saturday. Holy smokes. So, yes. So, grab the sack lunch, load up with Joe, and we actually head over to his father's ranch, grab the rifle. He was nice enough to give me a loaner rifle. Like you said, we squeezed off a couple. Go ahead.
Wait a minute. He didn't bring the rifle with you when he picked you up? So, like, on the way to go get the rifle, you passed 18 freaking shooters.
Yeah, there were some people out there. Well, he got in late on Friday, so he had to pick up his son and stuff like that.
To be fair, his guide now lives in Nebraska, so he drove in to do this.
I know, and kudos to Joe on that.
Great guy, wonderful guy. So we go to his dad's land, we shoot off some rounds, and then we load up, and right out the gates. I'm not even saying we're past his farm gate, 300 yards, and we look over, and 200 yards out, it's a nice buck, just standing there, glassing it. We're doing the, you know, should we? It's nice, but it's early. Let's keep on going. So we pass that up, and we start to get some miles on that truck, just going around, driving. I mean, how many acres is that BLM? That was massive.
Around 6 million.
Oh my gosh! I mean, you could just keep on going.
Yeah, I mean, you were hunting an area about half the size of Rhode Island.
That was just Area 75.
Yeah,
we have Area 74 and 67 and 68, and there's a whole bunch that's accessible to this group. There's no shortage of land.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, there is not. That's for sure. And we're driving around, and you're seeing so many, you know, and you're glassing, and you know, some of them far enough, like, yeah, there's horns. I can't tell what it is because you get that, what's it called, where you get the waviness of the heat, you know,
mirage.
Yep.
Yeah. So we're like, he has them. I can't tell. Where's the cutters? Is it over his ears? And we're just having a heyday, you know, just driving around, just glassing everything. I think we got a shooter, you know, but it's super flat. You know, he's too far out for me to hit with confidence. So we're trying to get up closer. We spook some, and we're trying to, you know, ride the small little rolling hills so things don't see us. And we're just having a blast.
It's tough to get within like 50 yards, isn't it?
Yeah, that's real close. We didn't get that close, you know. So, you know, yeah. loaner rifle and stuff. I was a little worried, you know, it's not my gun. I didn't shoot it. Whatever excuse I could think. I just wanted to get closer, you know. I wanted to hit something with confidence and have a good hit.
We know the scope was loose. It's okay.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say that. But yeah, there's some truth to that. Yeah. So you heard that. Yeah. So yeah, you know, heart rate's up. I wear a watch and I was like, oh man, I can hear my heart rate, you know, adrenaline's running and I'm looking, it's old 115, you know, the whole heart's pounding, you know, you're just getting excited. And, you know, there was an opportunity, I got down and prone and, you know, should I take that shot? And dang it, you know, doe starts running off. And of course the bucks are chasing him pretty hard. So yeah, doing that. And then, man, I would say that we went until about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I think it was. And we're driving along and boom, right there, get out. And we got a nice one, 120 yards out, you know, chasing, hanging out with about five does. And we got one in the back of the pickup truck.
Nice.
Now, Brandy did allude to some things. Yeah, there was a shot and it went over his back and reloaded, that he didn't move fast enough, and we dropped him with number two. So, yeah, that's true.
So was that buck fever, or were you rock steady?
I went down in kneel position, and he was running around. I kept on chasing with the scope just to stop, and right when he stopped, I mean, I snapped that trigger fast. I was excited. And Joe was in the glass right behind me. He goes, you're over his back right side. And I looked in the scope again, and he didn't move. All the does ran off. But he stood there, and I just racked another round on the lever action and let it go and contacted.
Nice. Lever action.
He borrowed a lever action.
Awesome.
That's fancy.
Yeah, yeah. 243 lever action.
That is the way you should hunt antelope.
Yes. Yeah, so very fortunate. I got a close shot. Unfortunately, part of my story is I missed that first close shot, but that second one, we hit him.
You're from California, and you only took two shots. It's all right.
Well, I will tell you, any antelope hunter that tells you he's never missed is a liar.
Hey, I airballed one right over one's back 2 years ago. We've all done it.
You did say antelope. Well, yes, I've missed a deer once, but I've never missed the antelope.
This is true. Well, Brandy's never missed.
So misery loves company, right? So I was a little like upset that I had two shots, but then, I mean, Jason, when you're up on the mic, you're like, all right, who had a hard time filling the tag? And someone raised their hand, but gosh, I'm glad I didn't, because you called them up on stage and handed them that mic and said, tell the story.
Yeah, and that was a funny thing, because the guy that he raised his hand, he shot a few times, and he did have a hard time, but he was with Trent, and Trent's a pretty fair guide. He knows exactly what he's doing. Got him all settled down. He ended up connecting on a really magnificent animal. The one that they brought into the cooler was pretty impressive. But they also hunt off their private land over there in 74. But it was nice to have somebody tell the story that wasn't an absolute train wreck. I understand we had some train wrecks. I may have been party to one or two of them. But
yeah.
Everybody filled out. It wasn't like we had anybody not be successful.
We have not, in 3 years, knock on wood, not been 100% on antelope. Now elk, but those are harder. And the ones we brought out for elk, we had one that was just, she was scared to shoot. She would see him through the scope and she'd never pull a trigger. She was there for what, 4 or 5 days?
Oh yeah. She saw a metric ton of elk on that trip, and she never sealed the deal. That was a weird one for us.
I don't think she pulled a trigger on one of them.
No, she didn't.
But I mean, I heard, you know, that was in the back of my head at 3 o'clock in the afternoon when I didn't get one. I was like, oh man, I heard like they've never had anyone not get one. Am I going to be that guy? Brandy's never going to let that down.
That would be a trophy. I would mail you a trophy.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So I'd be lying if I didn't say that. It didn't cross my mind 100 times during the day.
But
so.
You were not the last one in.
Oh, I wasn't. Okay,
you were
good.
Not. You were not. So, okay, you got the animal down, and
we got him down, and it's time, you know, get your hands dirty. I didn't have to, though.
That's
I mean,
that's not your job.
Nope, that's our
yeah,
job.
Yeah.
That's the guy's job.
I know, and I mean, that was nice. I mean, it's so turnkey. But, yeah, Joe dove in there. Bob was there, too. And, yeah, they just started taking care of it, you know, gutting it and getting it ready. Of course, we had to take our pictures. And I saw on Facebook, Joe and I are friends now, that he already posted that. He tagged you guys in that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and loaded up in the truck and started heading back to camp. And I had no idea where I was. I mean, we drove around for hours. And I don't know how many miles we put on his truck. You know, he was driving an old Ford diesel, probably went through a half a tank, maybe full tank for me. Offered to fill it up. He didn't want me to. But, yeah, I mean, we showed up at camp, and I don't even think we were a mile and a half away from camp. You know, we were close. And showed up, drove in the back of the building there, and, man, there's just a whole army of volunteers. There's so many good people. You know, it's unloaded. They hang it up, and they start that whole processing, you know, process for you guys. You know, it was just beautiful. It was awesome.
Now you got it to the Skinners.
Felt like a king.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good. Yep. That was the whole point. Now, you got it to the Skinners, and did you decide taxidermy?
I did. So you guys had a taxidermist there. I sat down with a nice lady. I don't remember her name, and you know, she's giving me the options of what I can do with it and what way do I want it to face. And I settled on a shoulder mount, you know, looking off on the right hand side. And yeah, I believe, I don't know if it was her husband or not. He was there and he was caping it out and doing it, you know, so he can mount it all professional. Like, they had a antelope there on display, and that thing was beautiful. Real nice work. So, I'm excited to get this thing.
Now, do you live in a household where you're going to be able to put that up?
Yes, sir. I already got a spot. We picked it out today.
We've had guys that say, I'm getting it done, and I'm going to put it somewhere, but I'm going to have to really work on permission. I'm glad I've got like 7 months to get it in there.
Oh, yeah. No, he's going to be overlooking the bar that we have here, which nice. I hope you guys will sit at one day and have a cup of bourbon with me.
That is proper.
No, wait. Yep.
There's like a checkpoint to get into California, and my firearms are going to be a problem.
I would love nothing more than to sit and have a drink with you at the bar, but I don't know that I'm coming to California anytime soon, dude.
Oh, come on, Alan. It's not that bad.
It's pretty bad.
It's, you know, just a little above Russia.
Yeah, there you go. Well, if you do, you know, please stop on over here. I'd be glad to host you guys like you guys host me.
Well, and I told you, I'm going to get you hooked up with our friend Mike DeSargo down there.
Oh, Mike is a good guy.
And we're going to get a long range going down there.
And okay. I'll be there. I'll be there with you.
Very, very good.
We were trying to get it done this spring, and we just couldn't make it happen. But now that we've got some more contacts and some more people that want to do it, we'll make it happen now.
Good.
Nice.
Because it sounds like he needs some long range training.
Oh, man. She didn't let that go.
She went there.
So,
oh, yeah.
Now that you've been out and you've kind of experienced what we do, everything we do is a thank you to the vets. Because you guys took your butt and wrote a check that we can't cash. There's no way we could even become close to say thank you. And that's why we do what we do, is to be a little bit of what we can do. You've done the antelope hunt. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
I would encourage you to, at a future date, put in an application for a different species, because you're done hunting antelope with us. It's one and done, right? Mm-hmm. But we have deer and elk available if we get a tag. It's more rare than antelope by far, but it does happen.
Oh, yeah, I'll be signing up.
I will tell you, though, if you come in for either one of those, you better plan on spending a week.
I agree with you, and I will. I mean, it was just great. I mean, I'll call you guys are friends, you know, and I want to see you for sure. So it was a lot of fun over there.
Outstanding.
I think that's the best part for us. I mean, you and I really hit it off, and we had a good time. Mm-hmm. I think between two of us, we put away 3 bottles of bourbon over the weekend.
Oh, my God.
we're sitting at the bar. And I look at my watch and I go, oh my God, do you realize it's past 1 o'clock already? I wouldn't have guessed.
Said, yes, I do. Would you like another?
So that's why you guys showed up with your check liver light on.
Yes, exactly. My response, he was like, you want another one? I go, I will if you do.
Well,
and sure enough, he did.
And I think what sealed it is we started the evening with a glass of Blood Oath.
Oh, you opened that bottle?
No, we didn't even open it. We had one. I got one open.
He lets you have Blood Oath. He likes the shit out of you.
It was nice. It was a good night. It was a good weekend.
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff he doesn't offer to just anybody. That's special.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
So we got her. It's being processed. And then you guys, Saturday night, wow. You guys put on something very special for everyone that you got. You guys had 20 hunters.
That's right.
And mm-hmm. You guys had 20 hunters, everyone tagged out. And then it's time to have a feast. And you guys, everyone brought it in the community. It was wonderful. I mean, there was steaks. I've never seen steaks that big before. I was like, just a mountain of steaks. And I was like, okay, there's a lot of food here. Let me grab a smaller steak. So I thought I was grabbing that steak. Kept on coming.
I did. You know, watched him. He grabbed it from the bottom. And he's like, oh, yeah. Here's a little one. Nope, it just kept coming and coming and coming.
I mean, you guys had these massive oval plates, and that steak took up half of it. It was giant.
Tyson takes care of us pretty well. That community in Lysite, they come together. This is their one party a year, and so they put it on.
Yeah, you guys had a full house, and it was like a potluck style. You had the steaks, you know. You guys have trailers and barbecues out there, you know. I didn't catch the gentleman's name that was cooking.
That's awesome.
Oscar.
He did an outstanding job.
He's our resident Sasquatch.
Yeah, and that trailer he had, he's set up to cook whatever you guys hand over to him. He could do whatever, anything.
Yes,
that
can.
Was an amazing trailer. And then everyone just brought in. You had casseroles, you had deviled eggs, you had hash browns, you had scalloped potatoes, which were, I don't know who made those. Those were wonderful, homemade scalloped potatoes. And then desserts. You could have got a whole plate of desserts if you wanted to. There was so much food, and it was so good. And I was sitting with, you know, Jazz and her dog Monty, and you know, Kevin and Scott and Corey and all them, and it was just quiet for about 5 minutes, and we're just gorging. It was just so good.
I think that's one of my favorite parts. It's not like any of the other events we do, because you think of, like, we do the FNRA, and that's catered, and it has to be prime rib, and it has to be this, and it has to be that, and it's so sterile. This one, where everybody, you know, nothing is catered. We bring in the steaks, we cook them there. You've got all, everybody's bringing in sides that they made at home for this event. It's just, to me, it's so much more organic.
Mm-hmm.
So did,
and delicious.
And did you take a part in the Quilts of Valor program?
I did. That's something special. So when I was perfectly communicating with Brandy before I showed up.
What, 2 days before?
yeah, probably. She was like, have you ever participated in a Quilt of Valor? Correct? Is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
Quilt
yes.
of Valor? And I was like, no, I don't know what that is. And then it you know, went silent. Maybe she's the communication problem. It just went quiet after I said that.
It has nothing to do with that. I have 20 vets, 22 mm-hmm. guides, and run three businesses. I'd be quiet for a minute.
So when you said no, that means she was signing you up for it, and so she was writing.
Yep. So didn't know what it was. So when I got in from the hump, Brandy grabbed me, and she said, hey, come over here. You need to pick out a quilt. And I was like, pick out a quilt? Okay. And I meet some of the nicest ladies, you know. And they're wearing their Quilt of Valor shirts and everything. And they're like, you know, thank you for your service. We want to present you with a quilt. You get to select it first, and then we'll present it to you later. So taking a look, I mean, 20 quilts, you know, and just looking at beautiful, all different designs. Everything's just handmade. And I stopped at one, and I was like, if I stop at it, that means, you know, it's mine, you know, that one right there.
That's right.
And they write down your name, your service, your dates, what you got out as, and then where you deployed. So you fill all that information out. Well, after dinner, all of a sudden they get back up there, and Otis, you know, starts to read off these cards. And when they call it, you go up there and you're presented this quilt from the organization. And when it was my time, you know, Brian, Marine Corps, you know, served in Iraq and everything. And I went up there, and they're holding up the quilts, and you you turn around and they drape it over you, and then they just give you the most loving hugs, and they thank you for your service and everything, and I'm thanking them, and they present you with this wonderful quilt that's handmade. And in fact, that's the very first thing I unpacked last night. You know, at 11 o'clock at night, I got home and unpacked that and draped that over my recliner, and there it is right now. So that's going to be in the living room forever. It's
all beautiful. Right. So a lot of guys, when they get those quilts, they take them home and, you know, they want to put them away. And I hope you don't do that, because they're meant to be used.
Mm-hmm.
They're meant to, you know, keep you warm, unless you remember there are people here that care about you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And we will be using that. And I will be wrapping up in that thing and remembering, you know, that whole experience. It was nice. You know, it was just so genuine and heartwarming. It was very nice. I appreciated that.
So going back to work today after experiencing all this, and of course yesterday was hectic flying home and everything, get home late, but you said you went ahead, got up and did the routine today. Were you different?
I was different. I mean, I was at peace, you know. I was comfortable, you know. It was, well, yesterday was even a special day for me. It was a day of travel, but my travel was late in the afternoon, and actually I flew out at 6 o'clock at night, so I still had the whole day. Well, that was still a special day. I was talking to JJ, and you know, he has a passion for fishing, and I do a lot of fishing, and he goes, what time you fly out on Sunday? And I told him, he goes, would you mind, you know, if we took you out fishing in the morning? I said, heck yeah, let's do that. So I went to their place, loaded up on the boat, and JJ took me out, which was one of the guides too. So he was just like, hey, this is what the weekend's about. It's for you guys. And him and his wife took me out on the boat. We had a great time and caught a lot of fish, and it was great. And then he dropped me off, and then I had another guy pick me up and drove me to the airport, and we were stopping along the way, you know, looking at prairie dogs and doing our thing with those.
Outstanding. So you kind of got the full experience. Yeah,
I did. I mean, I was talking to my wife. She's like, you had a great weekend, it sounds like. I go, no, I had a wonderful weekend, you know. And then yes, I woke up, you know, just great. I had such a great weekend, you know. I'm coming back energized and made so many new contacts. I mean, I have so many numbers right now in from that event, you know, people that want to man up and come out to California and visit and do some fishing, you know, they're going to do it. I got invited back, and just so much hospitality, you know. If you come back out here, you're staying with me, you know. You know, we need to get you out here and do this. And I'm just, yeah, let's do this. Well, and the cool thing about it, it's not just talk. It's real, you know. I know I'm going to see you guys again.
Yes, sir.
So
if
that's what's
the
cool
invite
about
is extended from somebody from Wyoming, you are welcome at our campfire anytime. You're bordering on family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the same to you. Absolutely.
Oh, and I think at the end of the day, that's what this is all about. And I think you know, and I gotta hand it to Jason Brandy, because this really, at the end of the day, they're the ones that do the yeoman's work on this organization. Now, Oscar and Sabrina, I gotta hand it to them. They really stepped up this year and helped out a ton. But at the end of the day, I see the work that Brandy puts into this. I see the work that Jason puts into this, making sure everything gets put together. But I got to hand it to you guys. You have achieved what you set out to do with this event.
It's a lot of work, but it's definitely worth it.
It is worth it.
I mean, hearing the simple, I was at peace when I got home.
Mm-hmm.
I can't ask for anything more. That's what we do. That's why we do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was wonderful, guys, and thank you. I know everyone was thanking me, but no, thank you guys. Thanks for doing it, thanks for organizing it, and thanks for executing it. It was a wonderful event.
And it sounds like we're rounding up, so Brian, if you can stay on the line after we round this up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, so here's to a really great weekend and the kickoff to kind of official hunting season in Wyoming. Brian, I'm going to tell you, you better get on the list for a deer and an elk. You come back out here, and I'm going to come down there. We're going to go fish.
There you go. I'm going to do that.
I'm going to hold you to that.
Have you out here.
So,
all right.
So when you come up here, you can just keep blaming the gun, and when I come down there, I'll keep blaming the fishing pole.